So, why is art important? Kind of a big question, isn't it?
Oh, that's a little too important.
We all absorb art all day, every day. So we need artists to create the things that we absorb.
For me, it literally is just a feeling.
You see it, you hear it, you feel it.
The process of human beings working out ideas of what it is to be human.
We're absorbing it, we're eating it, we're feeling it, we're pooping it out, we're creating it. It's art.
It's about taking the human experience and putting it into tangible form so that it's relatable to other humans.
Art is everywhere. It's such a huge part of our lives. I know it's definitely a huge part of mine. And in this first episode of Absolutely Nonsensical, a new podcast hosted by me, Ben Aqua, we're going to talk about why art is important. So why the hell am I going to talk about why art is important? So maybe I can back it up a little bit by first telling you a little bit about myself. If you're not familiar with me, I'm Ben Aqua. I am an artist based in Austin, Texas. I do YouTube. I do photography. I'm a musician. I'm a DJ. I make shirts. I sell them on a shop. I just do all kinds of creative things. And a friend of mine, Patrick Tommaso, another really badass YouTuber and creator, has been pumping me up recently, being like,
"Yo, Ben, make a podcast. Yo, Ben, make a podcast." That was like a rapper. I don't know why I did it like that.
So when I was like, okay, what's the first episode going to be? The first thing that came to mind was maybe I can go around and interview people on why art is important. Who knows why the hell that came into my mind, but that's what happened. So I found myself standing in an art gallery one day for a pretty cool exhibition that had a small yet magical, huge twist.
And we are in Cloudtree Studios.
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
Is it a gallery or is it a studio space or both?
It's formerly a studio with a gallery space.
It has like an arched ceiling.
So it's a post-World War II Quonset hut.
The person I'm talking to here is my good friend Juan Cisneros, who put together with his wife this art show consisting of all artists under the age of 5.
And everything was installed with kids in mind, so everything is like at eye level for kids. So it's pretty, if you look straight ahead as a hashtag adult, the walls are completely empty. Do you feel huge right now?
When you have children, you kind of always feel gigantic.
That must be a good feeling. So, why is art important? Kind of a big question, isn't it?
Oh, that's a little too important. And I guess I've always thought of art as just the process of human beings working out ideas of what it is to be human. And I also think it's really important that as children grow through the process of being human, that we don't make adulthood a goal, that their life starts as soon as they're alive, and that the process of thinking about what it is to be human starts immediately. More than happy to consider this a capitulation of that concept and allowing kids to try to do it as well. And at least put it on a stage where they're acknowledging that process for what it is.
So then I caught up with the star artist of the show, Juan's daughter. She's 5 years old.
But you're 5 years old. This is your first art show. Do you feel good? Are you proud? She's nodding. She just jumped in the air. Well, congratulations. She's stomping on the ground now.
She was a little shy at first, but then she started talking about her paintings and the colors in them.
Rainbow.
Blue rainbow? Why blue rainbow?
There's blue everywhere. Blue. Oh, green.
What color is that one?
What
would you say that one's like?
Pink.
Like salmon or some type of fish?
Or sand.
Yeah.
This art show was definitely one of the most unique experiences I've had in an exhibition space. Because usually the only place we tend to see kids' art is on a refrigerator. But this was like a full-blown gallery experience with fancy lighting, snacks, juice boxes, the whole nine yards. And then I bumped into one of my favorite, most absolutely nonsensical people on this earth, Chad Allen.
Hi.
Chad helped start the store Switched On here in Austin, which is a store that any synthesizer or drum machine nerd would just completely salivate over.
I do love a synthesizer or two. Is this going to be on TV?
Why is art important to you, Chad?
Why is art important?
A loaded question.
It is... Everything is art. I don't know how to separate it.
Maybe we don't need to.
Is life important?
Good question. I've been debating that myself.
Yeah?
I would say no, in the grand scheme of things, but yes, in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, if life is everything, and everything is unimportant, then maybe life's unimportant. That's kind of an important thing to realize.
Is this conversation important?
No, of course not.
Yet this moment is important.
It's all that we have.
And ironically, Chad once wrote a song called Life is Meaningless with a band called the Oblong Boys.
See, your problems are small, no reason to worry at all.
Now you're seeing it. Life is meaningless.
So maybe life is meaningless, or maybe it's just full of stuff. But let's step into a giant pile of beautiful poo that is also part two of this podcast, which takes place in a small town in New Mexico called Abiquiu.
We are standing in the most beautiful place in the world, Abiquiu, New Mexico.
This is my niece Sierra Ho. She's based in Baltimore, but we're at a family gathering here surrounded by donkeys and horses and snow. Abiquiu is one of the hardest words to spell, so I just call it Abiquiu.
Abiquiu.
So you're an artist. Why do you think art is important?
Why do I think art is important? I mean, we all absorb art all day, every day. So we need artists to create the things that we absorb. It's part of entertainment. It's part of being a mammal that has intelligence, you know? You see it, you hear it, you feel it. It's about taking the human experience and putting it into tangible form so that it's relatable to other humans and non-humans, like dogs.
And Sierra is petting a dog named Rain, who stands at about, 3.5 feet tall?
Yeah.
Huge.
I would say so.
Rain, you are the ultimate work of art, and it's effortless.
Easy, breezy, beautiful cover dog.
Is it just me, or is it incredibly soothing and so relaxing to just listen and watch a dog eating? Just for a little while, all the crunching and their contentment and the level of focus. And while you're enjoying the sweet zen that is my previous dog Lucifer's crunching noises, I want to take a second to just let you know that if you're not already subscribed to this podcast, it would really help me out if you click that subscribe button wherever you're listening from. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you wanted to leave me a review, that would be so, so juicy. Maybe even click on the rating button, that'll help me out. You can also connect with me on Twitter and Instagram at B3NAQUA and support me by buying stuff from my shop, which is just benaqua.shop. We'll be right back. But enough plugging and munching. Let's get back into this episode. So this is part three of this podcast where I'm back in Austin, Texas. And I sat down with the painter, designer, multi-talented artist, Anthony Hurd.
The scope is so broad, you know, because I will do digital work and I will paint and I will try different techniques.
Anthony has an interesting story because he started off as a painter.
I started painting when I was 15. Then I stopped painting when I was about 20. And I moved to Los Angeles and my design career, advertising kind of took over. And then I didn't paint for about 10 more years.
And in that 10-year gap, Anthony worked for some of the largest brands across all platforms, from entertainment studios to large ad agencies to energy drinks.
When I turned 30, I started painting again to make a gift for my business partner's wedding. And I just thought, oh, I'll make him something special. And then after that, I just kept painting. And that was 13 years ago.
And over the next several years, Anthony just found a lot more happiness working on painting versus doing his commercial work, which brought in all the green. But his transition from successful commercial designer to full-blown painter wasn't all puppy dogs and rainbows.
There's like no comparison. Other than kind of a freelance life, you know, as a painter, you might sell things and you might not. So you can have a few really good months and you can have a few really bad months. And as a freelancer, there was always work if I really needed it. I used freelancing and design as kind of a crutch for my art for a long time because I felt like I don't have to work real hard at either one and I can do both. But then I just kind of started reaching this point where I was dreading doing the design work that I needed to do to support the fact that I wanted to do art. And that started to kind of wear on me. And it wasn't until like a year and a half ago, I had a series of panic attacks over the lack of design work that was coming in 1 month. And all these bills that I had coming up, and I just decided like I had to stop doing that work and just paint.
Anthony's story is a classic one. One of those stories where like the person gets the amazing corporate job. It pays well, it has good benefits, it dazzles them with candy and cool things. But deep inside, they're just not happy. Nothing's feeding their soul the way it should be. Something feels wrong. Something needs to come in and save the day. And for Anthony, it was art.
I decided a year and a half ago that I was going to send an email to all those clients saying, I'm not going to be emailing you anymore. Like, I'm no longer doing this work. That was like a super shitty feeling and super scary. But at the same time, it was like this big relief. It's like, oh, I finally have committed to something. Like, I'm not writing that line anymore.
Seems like you realize that art is very important to you, and that's, you listen to that call. So in your words, like, why do you think art in that kind of way is important?
For me, it literally is just a feeling. Even as an artist, I get emails from big corporations that, you know, want to potentially use my art for things. And I do some of it, but sometimes I just like, instantly get this feeling in my gut, like, ugh, you know, it's just like your body screaming yuck. It just makes me feel like a commodity. It's hard to recognize it because for so many years I was experiencing that and I just kept looking past it.
With painting and fine art, Anthony found something a lot more emotionally gratifying.
Every time, what I realize people respond to most are the pieces that were like the most emotional pieces for me. That's where I'm happiest. Like, there's nothing better than someone acknowledging your work and connecting with it on any level, even if they don't know anything about why you made it, but knowing that you made it for like a really emotional reason. It doesn't happen a lot that I get to talk with people and realize how much they connect with it. But when it does happen, it's like I'm on cloud nine for like weeks because I'm like, they got it. It just connected and it works. And I never got that connection in design.
We all know there are so many people that are kind of stuck in that kind of rut where, you know, they're just questioning their, it's not emotionally lining up with whatever their impact, what they wish their impact was on the world, if they know of such a thing. What would you say to somebody that's like stuck in that kind of mode and they want to be the painter, they want to be the photographer that they used to be?
I would like to say pursue the thing that you love, but I didn't just like quit doing advertising to paint because I'm just like, I want to be a painter. It's because I spent 12 years developing my paintings and doing shows and selling work. And I felt like it was finally appropriate for me to make that jump. You know, don't do something stupid. Like, don't burn a bridge if you don't have another another road to go down or something. You're gonna have to work really hard and find your niche and like evolve like all the time. Technology changes all the time. Like the way we get to present our work to the world changes all the time. Like, algorithms fuck things up, and, you know, it's just a risk. Sometimes a risk is worth it. Sometimes it's suicide. You know, you gotta find balance.
And then I asked Anthony to get all absolutely nonsensical on me, you know, say something a little weird, and he was all like,
hey, if you could record my brain, it would be a lot easier.
So that wraps up the first ever episode of Absolutely Nonsensical, my new podcast. I'm your host, Ben Aqua. I hope you had a blast listening to this podcast, and I definitely had a lot of fun making it. And special thanks to our guests, Juan Cisneros and his lovely daughter, Chad Allen, Sierra Ho, Anthony Hurd, and my loving dog, Lucifer, RIP. If you liked the music in this podcast, search for Ben Aqua on Apple Music and Spotify or wherever you ingest virtual tunes, and you'll find all my stuff. If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, go ahead and bake a banana nut cake on that subscribe button in whatever app you're using for podcasts. And if you're feeling extra juicy, leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It would really help me out and help grow this little project, this little experiment. And also, I'd just love to hear your feedback. You can also connect with me on Instagram or Twitter at B3NAQUA. I'd really love to hear your thoughts on this episode, and maybe tweet or even post an Instagram story about why you think art is important. And while you're doing that, don't forget to tag me at B3NAQUA and use hashtag absolutely nonsensical on Twitter or Instagram so I can see it and maybe even repost it. I'm really looking forward to creating new episodes of this podcast. So thank you so much again for listening. Thanks for coming with me on this ride. Hopefully it wasn't too bumpy. And I'll see you in the next episode.